Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. We asked my beloved co-host to stay home because he's got a sore throat, but he arranged our caller today, and so here he is.
That's right.
And we didn't have to roll him in and
drag myself from a sick bed chair. Just to be with Paul Horner, famous fake news guy in Phoenix, Arizona, and stand-up comedian.
How's it going?
Good morning, Paul. Hey,
good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, great, great. I appreciate you giving us the time. Yeah, this is a busy day for you. You got interviews all day.
Yeah, I got a live interview with a member of the European Parliament and editor of BuzzFeed on Channel 4, which is a, I don't know if you're familiar with Channel 4, but they're pretty much the biggest thing over in Europe. I mean, they're like NBC.
Yeah.
Like, they're huge. I didn't know a lot about them, but they stream a lot of stuff over here, so I like the stuff that they stream. It's a lot of anti-Trump stuff, and it's a lot of good news, so I like that. And then later today, I got a interview with a German guy that's a filmmaker. He produces or he directs or I'm not sure exactly, he films the one of the most popular shows in Germany. And they want to do it's called Galileo or something like that. I looked it up, and there's on the Facebook fan page there's like almost 4 million likes, and excuse me.
Yeah,
so I he wants to do a film with me in it, something about something with fake news versus satire, or something with about misinformation in the media, some sci-fi version of that. I don't know. So,
well, let's talk about the difference between satire and fake news, if there is a difference. When you started this, did you think it was going to be as big as it is?
I mean, when I started this 6 years ago, you know, what I do. All this stuff that I do was called satire, was called hoaxes, it's called internet pranks. Sites like Variety would rank like the best hoaxes of the year. And I mean, it's been like that. Like my internet, like my Wikipedia page used to say, internet news satire satirist. I forget exactly what it used to say, but
yeah.
And now it just says, like, Paul Horner, contributor to fake news websites, and then it just, I don't know, ever since this whole, like, it's pretty much, like, November, just this whole, like, fake news, evil, like, everything evil about fake news, this whole Trump, just everything just came crashing down, and I've gotten hit with like at least 500 interview requests.
Wow.
I mean, since November 17th, I would say. November 17th is when it all started, from a Washington Post interview that I did.
Yeah, between the Post and the Anderson 360, I think that's what really put you on the map. The by the way, your Wikipedia page still says, by the way, satirist, via fatcheck.org, but all the other ones consider it fake news. But they still have you listed as a satirist, so if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah, there's a lot of places that list me as a satirist just because I throw so much satire in.
Yeah.
I mean, like the title that I have and maybe the first paragraph or something like that might be what's considered now fake news, but there's a purpose behind all of that. Like the last article I did that went viral was Twitter deletes Donald Trump's account over racism and intolerance. And that was spread by the alt-right and the far-right conservatives. Like, it was spread 255,000 times on Facebook. And it was spread by the left and liberals also. That was a good story. 95% of it was just shit-talking on Donald Trump with links to back it up. Everything from his dumbass putting in a guy that in charge of the EPA that doesn't believe in climate change,
right.
Is the person of education doesn't believe in public education.
Right.
I mean, he's got his cabinet full of billionaires and millionaires, and they're supposed to look out for the lower class and the middle class. And
yeah, you couldn't.
I just list every possible fucking thing about that evil piece of it, just evil guy. And,
We have to remind you that you're on the air. He'll cut you off.
Clean language.
Clean thinking. We're a family station here.
All right. Yeah, sorry about that. I'm just not a fan. That guy just... All right.
Don't let it happen again. Listen, what have you done, and what are you doing? Now, get people caught up here, I think, on the whole fake news thing. So people would take your Andy Borowitz, The Onion. The internet is not a stranger to quote unquote fake news, but everybody knew it was fake. It was funny. It was satirical. But somebody got the idea, Donald Trump and company, that we're going to take your fake news and we're going to pick it up and run with it and make it real. And so I don't know where the stroke of genius was, whether it was or evil genius in this case, whether it was the Trump camp or was Paul Horner, but it became very effective campaign material. Is that right?
I've thought a lot about that. I mean, in the beginning, I know my post article, because I was thinking, I'm like, how did this guy get in the White House? And he's like a 10-1 underdog, and I started thinking about the articles that I wrote. You know, I'd write these articles like the Amish, for example, locking up a victory for Trump, and that went viral. And I was thinking like an article like
that one That one I saw. Somehow it got into my Facebook feed.
Right on, yeah. So I'd write an article like that, and I'd hope that the Trump supporters would see that and be like, oh, cool, we don't have to go out and vote. You know, stuff like that. So, I mean, I'd write stuff to encourage them not to vote for Trump, and I'd write stuff mocking Trump as much as I could. And there were some articles, I think, that just the complete alt-right took. Right. And the ones that were going to vote for him regardless, I think, were the ones that, I've come to the conclusion that I definitely had nothing to do with getting that guy in the White House, and all I did was negative towards his campaign. I think the people that were sharing his stuff, I mean, there was an article about I wrote an article just mocking their idea that the protesters were being paid, because I went to two Trump rallies in Arizona, one in Fountain Hills and one downtown Phoenix, and I mean, trust me, nobody needs to get paid to protest that guy. And so I just make up a fake Craigslist ad, and I wrote that they were paying white people with fighting skills $3,500 per event, and they believe that. I mean, Donald Trump's own campaign manager Corey Lewinsky tweeted that, and and it was clear he was quickly called an idiot, and it was taken off his page. The hardcore Trump supporters ran with it. And they were called idiots, and I even eventually posted on that page, this is not real, they are not, no one's getting paid, in big, bold letters, and still, 50,000 times the article was shared.
But people really wanted to believe that. I think Trump supporters really wanted to believe that all the demonstrators were being paid.
Yeah.
And so it fit right in with their own, what would you call it, self-myth? About the world, Paul, and they really did believe your stuff, and they did really did spread it, and I don't know. I think you're probably right. Most of those people would have voted for Trump anyway, don't you think, Mike?
So yes, I think they would have. So just to be clear, at least as far as your Paul Horner's public persona here, Your article in the Washington Post was, I think I put Trump in the White House, but Paul Horner is saying...
Yeah, that was taken out of context.
Got it.
I'm not happy with that quote at all. That was when I was thinking, that was the beginning of the thought process. This is the end of the thought process, what I just told you.
Very good. That's why I want to make it clear. So here we are at the end of the thought process, as you said. And we're pretty sure that it wasn't all that... Like they said it was. So this is more real what we're doing today. Go ahead, Gary. What do you got?
I'm going to break in and put in a plug for our sponsor, one of our sponsors, El Portal, a luxury pet-friendly inn located in the heart of Sedona. It's sponsoring us because they wish to encourage a discussion and debate of various points of view. And El Portal is ranked among the 50 best small hotels in the U.S. by Condé Nast Publications. So,
great place for breakfast.
It's fantastic for breakfast.
Paul, you come to town, we'll take it to El Portal for breakfast.
7:80 a.m.
We'll see if we can get him to pay for it. So listen.
We'll buy you breakfast. Mike will. Mike will buy us all breakfast.
We got those. We got the... a lot of Paul Horner's stuff out there, and it just like your news stories, it's a little hard to sort out the real from the not so real. But we want to encourage people to go to your Facebook page, and I believe that there's plenty of here and now real Paul Horner on the Facebook page, and you can see kind of more of a whole picture of the guy that has the reputation for doing fake news.
Don't you think we're so divided that people just want to believe whatever they read? I saw a lot during the election. I saw a lot of my liberal friends passing around stories from The Onion and Borowitz that seemed to believe that they were true. So I don't think any of this is particularly surprising, and frankly, I'm a lot more concerned about an administration that believes in alternative facts than I am in stories that are satire or fake.
I think they had a real impact, but I think people are more aware of them now. I know that I was reading an article by a writer in Rolling Stone, and he said that liberals believe that there's some magic to the actual truth, to the truth about an issue. And he said, that's not what's happening. People are going to it like it's a cafeteria line. And if they don't like something, they just move on to the next object and they buy it. So they move along to an object like Paul's satire that they believe in, that demonstrators are getting paid, and they go from an actual site to a false news site. And because it tells them what they want to hear, that's what they go with.
Now, what advice do you have? I'm going to guess that the European Parliament guy is going to ask you about, because they're worried about fake news over there. How can you, so they're going to talk about how can they defend against it? How can they keep it out of their own campaigns all over Europe, whether it's France, Germany, or whatever?
Yeah, I'm speaking with the European Parliament next month, March 8th. Uh-huh. And I've kind of thought about a lot of that, and I think the problem is exactly everything that you guys are just talking about. You're just not hitting it on, like, the head of what really is the issue. And the issue is that pretty much every media outlet out there right now in this world that has ad revenue and has a media base that it tries to get followers from and tries to get a base is fake news.
Wow.
Anyone that they have an agenda, they're going to show their followers exactly what they want to see. I mean, even this Channel 4 news, like, I've never seen them say anything positive about Trump. And you find stuff on Fox News and Borowitz and stuff like that that's all pro-Trump. You know, maybe not all.
So you're saying that every news outlet has a commercial motivation and to get followers, to get money, that there's, as far as you know, there's no pure news out there. Everybody.
I mean, even the local news. I mean, the local news is probably the worst I mean, what do you see on the local news? 90% of it. I mean, besides like the stuff like, you know, like who won the Super Bowl last night and maybe Donald Trump talking. What do you see? Like what? Like you see? I mean, every episode. I mean, every local news episode is a white baby drowning in a pool.
Yeah.
A drunk driver that went the wrong way on the freeway, you know, to scare people, and some black guy shot up a white guy and killed someone or something like that. I mean, that's every local news story, and they build it on fear to get people followers, and these people like have this fear and they live in fear, and that's what they want, and that's how they make their money, and that's how they keep their viewers, and that's how they keep people living in fear.
What you're saying, Paul, is doesn't say much for journalism ethics, that you know, if that there is a criteria that if it bleeds, it leads, you know, and all this other good stuff. You're saying, and I agree with you, by the way, I'm not, but I just want to be clear that you're saying that everything that network news does, that commercial broadcasts do, is all about audience. It has nothing to do with truth, and everything is fake news. If the truth gets in there, it's strictly by accident.
But, Mike, you were paid to agree with him.
That's right. The check is in the mail, right?
Yeah.
If I could, I partially agree with you, and I think you're supported by things like the CEO of CBS, Moonves, saying during the campaign that about Donald Trump that when asked why Trump was on their network so often, he told his affiliates that Trump was going to make the network billions of dollars because he brought ratings, and so they were going to continue to give airtime to Trump that they wouldn't to others. So I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying, but I think it's a matter of degrees, personally.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. The places like the New York Times, the Washington Post, Democracy Now, those people that really do have a criteria of truth and a judgment that doesn't at all kowtow to ratings, I think there's a big danger in poisoning the well, as we say, and that all media is untrustworthy. That's what the right does. That's the alt-right likes to do that. They're saying you can't find the truth out there. You can't trust any media. You can't trust any government. So just believe what I'm going to tell you. And there's a big danger in that. There is truth out there.
I mean, conservative newspapers like the Wall Street Journal have good reporters on them and have done really good investigative stories in the past. We've talked with some of the guys there.
Yeah, that wouldn't be high on my list of truth. But.
Well, we're not talking about the editorial page. We're talking about the strictly on the reporting.
Paul, I think you've done our country a great service in that, you know, you've focused so much, you and others have focused so much attention onto journalism that I see a lot of journalists and organizations that have kind of recommitted themselves to trying to, you know, it's anything is subjective, but I think that there's a new push to try to get to the truth. And yeah. I think that's a direct result of what you've done.
No, I mean, I thank you. I mean, my goal, like in all of this, was, I mean, I've always tried to get people to fact check more, to use Google, of course, it's nice to pay the bills with writing, but I love the idea of people I get fans, the ones who have believed my story, and then they'll fact check and then they'll follow my stuff because they like the stuff, the information, the satire, the stuff I have in my stories. But definitely it's made people aware of fake news. I mean, I'll post my stuff now and now people are quick to call it fake news, and they're quick to, which is a word I don't like, but at least they're waking up to the idea that not to believe everything they see and hear, just because, I mean, the current media, and they're still like this, is everyone is so quick to put out the story first. I mean, so it gets messed up a lot of times. I mean, it's like the fog of war. They want to put out the story as quickly as possible. They see a few, like, you know, 100 people, tweeting the same story, and some place will put it out. And then, if it's a big enough outlet, then, some CBS or NBC will put it out. And then what they do is, if it's false, they'll just go back and just say this article is false. But it's already spread so much through, millions of people. And that's such a common thing. And it's happening, I think, less and less because of what's happened since November 17th.
A great example is Fox News report. They were the first to report on the terrorist attack at the Muslim center in Quebec, and attributed the attack to a Moroccan immigrant, and so that got circulated on their network and elsewhere for a couple of days, and then they later found out that it was a young man who was born in Canada, a white man, who was an arch conservative. So it those kinds of things do circulate. And I think the other thing is that I was bothered for years and years by people sending me chain emails that were complete fabrications and lies. And, it took me about 30 seconds to fact check them. And I would send the response back to the originators of them, and they would and I would ask them, why would you pass this on when it's so easy to fact check? And so, all the election did was bring more attention to it. And I think that's a good thing.
Ultimately. We want to talk about Paul Horner here. And one more thing. What did you know and when did you know it? This is kind of a journalism thing. Did you know that your material was being used by the evil Trump campaign people, or not too legitimate Trump campaign people? And did you know before the election that this was happening?
I don't know. I mean, I definitely would target Trump and his idiot supporters with my articles, just because, I don't know, I didn't want to write anything about Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders that was negative. I wasn't a fan of Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders would have been the candidate. He would have just mopped the floor with Trump. It's really actually a shame that he didn't get in instead of Hillary, just because nobody wanted, like, that's how bad no one wanted to vote for her, that Donald Trump actually won. Like, when you lose to Donald Trump, like, that's how you know that no one likes you. Like,
there's a lot of people that would agree with you, but
What about this famous story that our most beloved rodent has predicted that there'll be snowflakes the next 4 years? Is that on your site?
No, that's I know the person that wrote that. That's from the nationalreport.net. I used to write with those guys. They're a good group of people, very funny. Some of the stuff that they write is stuff that I don't agree with, and it's one of the problems out there. I think that there's a lot of what is actual fake news with no purpose, just strictly for ad revenue. There's a lot of sites. National Report's all right. I like all those guys. The guy that runs it is Justin Kohler. I'll say his name. He runs under Alan Montgomery, but I'll say that. I would never say that before, but that name's public now. So
yeah. But slandery national traditions, like, the Groundhog Day, is a serious issue, Paul.
Yeah. I'm just saying, there's so many sites out there that are just strictly just fake news, just to be fake news, and I'm really glad that Google and Facebook are cracking down on them, like sites like Hustlers.com. I could name a bunch of other ones. They're just fake news to be fake news, and there's no purpose behind them. There's nothing positive in their message. There's nothing. They write a lot of scare stories. They write a lot of stuff that you'd see, like, just on Fox News. And it's like the idea of, like, I know I could write a story today. Today I could write a story about Paul McCartney being, like, killed. And I could get it to go viral. And it would, within 48 hours, I would make $10,000 in ad revenue. I promise you. Wow. I could do that. And I wouldn't do it because it's morally wrong. There's no purpose to it. And it's just fake news to be fake news. And that's the kind of stuff that I'm really glad that Google AdSense is knocking off. There's other ad companies that are knocking off. Facebook is knocking those sites off. I've had one of my sites knocked off by Facebook, and they've done nothing to my other sites. And the only reason that was knocked off is just because it was so... It was my abcnews.com.co website. It was just in the media too much, and it was just publicly put out there too much, and Facebook has to do something about it, but they've done nothing to... personally, I don't think they like Trump. I think that they're... I know for a fact they're more liberal. I'm hoping that they see my stuff as satire, and they see my stuff as anti-Trump, and it doesn't matter how many complaints they get, because I know that Trump supporters are complaining about my stuff right now.
So I saw ABC a lot. I saw a lot of people shared that. So it's gone now?
What's that?
Your ABC...
if you try to post that link on Facebook right now, it's gone. The thing is, there was about 2 years ago, there was a website of mine, abcnews.com.co, and I had two stories in a row that went just mega viral. I mean, just completely just insane, like, amounts of traffic on Facebook. And, I mean, they were shared, each of them were shared. And this was in, a two-week period. Each of them were shared, over 500,000 times. And that site was blocked.
Can you give us an example of the story there, Paul?
Yeah, that one was I love those stories. So the first one was that stupid lady Kim Davis and evil Mike Huckabee. I wrote that Journey, I believe it was Journey, because they played "I Am a Champion," that song, when she was released from prison. If you remember, you know Kim Davis, right?
Yeah.
The lady that refused to give the certificates to the gay couple. Just, do your job, leave the religion out of it. All you have to do is do your job. You took your job to do it. You're getting paid. Do your job. I don't care what your beliefs are. You can believe in, banging sheep. You can believe in whatever you want to believe in. I don't care. But your job is to give certificates.
So we draw the line at banging sheep, Paul.
That's it. So it's all about clicks and ad revenue. That's how it works, right? It's a simple direct line.
I know. In that story, though, I was making a point of Journey suing them for $2 million or $10 million. I forgot. And they didn't sue them, but they came out publicly saying, don't use our song. And I just took it a step further, that they actually sued them, just because I was seeing that a lot at Republican conventions.
Sure.
And actually, after my story, I have not seen that since Republican conventions in all these other places that were conservatives. And they're using these songs of these artists that want nothing to do with the right and the conservative movement out there. And they're just using their songs without permission. And since that article went so viral and got so much attention, I haven't seen any of that. I mean, every song that you hear at a Trump rally is all approved by those artists.
If nothing else, that's a good job. You did good there.
I hoped I had something to do with that, because that just bothers me.
Let's talk a little bit about other Paul Horner stuff. What about... let's go ahead and get your charity in before we run out of time. You got a charity that you started yourself?
Yeah. So in my stories, I'll make sure to put links. When stuff goes viral, I'll just start putting in as many links as possible to promote my friends. And like my brother has a skateboard company that's really getting huge called PyramidCountry.com, and they're just getting just huge. They're awesome. Their artwork is amazing. Their stuff is amazing. So I'll put links to his stuff. I'll put links to my friends and myself. Like if I have a comedy show coming up, so I'll just throw in that Bill Murray's going to be there, and I'll have a link to my event page on Facebook. I'll link to friends' event pages for their comedy shows. My cousin has a stop pack thing that's stoppack.com. It's basically like you have your friends. They're notified every time you smoke a cigarette, so it kind of guilt you into stopping smoking, which is a pretty good idea. I'll just promote stuff like that, and then like in all my stories, pretty much every one of my stories that goes viral, you'll see something with a spokesman for a charity called Socket Forward. And what we do is we give out about right now we're giving out about 2,000 pairs of socks every month to the homeless people in the valley. And we hand them out directly, and we make sure that each person gets like at least one pair. And it's like really rewarding. Socks are by far the least donated things at shelters, and they're the most needed. When you put a pair of brand new socks in a homeless person's hands, they light up like it's gold. I'll talk to them, and they're like, I've gained 35 pounds since being homeless. Like, there's so many people giving food. And that's fine. You know, food is great. I have a friend that, I have a lot of friends that give food, and they give, you know, basic stuff, but they need things to keep them warm, and also just things like basic necessities, like toothpaste, socks, just stuff that you wouldn't really think about, but that are just necessities. I mean, socks are great. I mean, I have money, I have a car, I have a roof over my head, I have my own place, and I love brand new socks. And when you're homeless, you don't have a washer and dryer. You're walking around all the time, taking public transportation. You have no access to any clean clothes and like brand new socks. I mean, every time I hand out a pair of brand new socks, I mean, the majority of them will sit there and like actually take off their old pair of socks right there on the spot and put on the brand new pair.
Were you home? Were you ever homeless?
No, I don't know. I like it. I kind of relate to it, and I like.
Yeah.
I really like interesting people.
Are you still doing stand up?
Yeah, I do it all the time. I do a lot of. I actually have a comedy show Thursday the 16th at the Lost Leaf in downtown Phoenix. We got about 11 of the best comics in Phoenix. It's pretty easy for me to get really good comics just because of my name, and then also the venue, Lost Leaf.
Lost Leaf's a great venue. Nice little bar on Fifth Street, Fifth and Roosevelt.
Yeah, Fifth Street and Roosevelt, right there in downtown Phoenix.
Don't ask me how I know that venue.
It's a really interesting venue for comics. Some comics just do not do well there, but the ones that do well, like I always invite back. So. And then we got live music after that. And at this show, there's live art by this guy, Joe Gonzalez, who's just amazing artist. And so he paints throughout the whole thing. And then we got live music after the comics. And then we got a drink and draw that starts at 9 p.m. So basically people bring their sketch pads and just draw and drink. And that's real fun.
So if people want to see Paul Horner, they can go to the Lost Leaf on the 16th.
Yep.
Get a little comedy, a little beer.
Yep, 9 p.m.
I might be there. You can buy me some or not, you know.
Sounds good. I'll buy you a beer for sure.
My son's place is across the street. We go pick up a T-shirt and just have a good party there. Right. I don't know. We're all Donald Trump when it comes to promoting our own families. And our own agendas here, but I think he's making a little more than any of us. We got Paul Horner, stand-up comedian. We got Paul Horner, fake news guy, who's going to
impeach Trump.
impeach Trump. And
I'm gonna work. I'm working on it.
That's right. Put your talents to something useful, for God's sake.
I would encourage people to check out his Facebook site. I was doing that as we're on the show here, and the first couple of stories that pop up were Mexico is preparing for the wall by selling ladders to the population, right. and that Trump is going to turn the wall into a gladiator contest. If you make it over, you can stay.
Yeah, I wrote three wall stories within the last 3 days. I just wrote those real quick. They don't get passed around by the right. They don't, and the left doesn't. And the left, and the problem with stories like that is that the right won't spread them. And they spread, so when they do spread articles, Fox News knows what they're doing, with their followers. They click ads, it's a cure for cancer. They spread stuff like crazy. They're passionate. They're gullible. They're Bible thumpers. They believe everything, and they just spread it all.
Wow.
I found that liberals and atheists do not spread my stuff. The people on Reddit do not spread my stuff, which are more liberals, which are more atheists. They don't click ads. So writing those types of stories are fun. They're very fun, and I love them, but they do not pay the bills. But I'll still put out stuff like that. I have a story right now that is that story I told you about, the one about them shutting down his Twitter account. I love that story so much, just because it's something that I can pay the bills with, because it'll be shared by the alt-right.
That was you?
So much in the far right, yeah.
You put out the Trump's, they're closing his Twitter account?
They're going to pry the phone from his hands?
Yeah.
Wow.
And, yeah,
I thought that was real.
And then I set up a new Twitter account that he supposedly changed to. So, and that's actually, I've been updating that every time I put out a new story. And it's got about 1,000 followers. And they all think it's really his account. And I'll just have him say, we're going to build the biggest wall. These ladders aren't going to stop us. And then the gladiator, Mexican gladiator battles that he's planning. Supposedly, he's like, we're going to have the greatest fights. You're gonna see some of the greatest battles in the history since the Roman Colosseum. they're gonna be great, folks. You're gonna love it. I'll talk exactly like him. He's so easy to mimic. He always says, "It's the best. It's the greatest. You'll love it. I promise you." And his followers are just eating that up because they're idiots. They're morons. They're idiots. You're all morons. Anyone that supports Trump, you're a moron.
And a boy. All right.
Paul has some strong opinions.
we want you to kind of bust out and say what you think, you know. Just kind of stop keeping your light under a bushel, buddy.
If you don't like Trump, just go ahead and say so.
Yeah, no, you're among friends here. I like to believe there's a whole Zen thing going on. The more we hate on him, the more he's going to be around forever. We'll be laughing when he's in the middle of his third term, and we're still you're still doing fake news, and we're still doing this show and having breakfast at El Portal, one of our fine sponsors. We also have Democrats of the Red Rocks that have their monthly breakfast, aren't they?
Can I put in the pitch for him?
Please.
I'm the old ad guy, after all.
Yeah, I do.
there's a breakfast coming up on Thursday, February 16th at 8 a.m., and the speaker is going to be Charles Schutzen, who is a Wisconsin Reserve judge, former judge, and he's going to talk about the pros and cons of the U.S. Electoral College.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
I can't think of a pro, so this will be interesting.
Right. Well, I saw a thing on Facebook, or maybe it came from Paul's page, that if Ruth Bader Ginsburg said if Trump ever calls her some kind of judge, she'll kick his ass. That's it. But anyway, the
Trump's stories are so easy to write. Basically, the formula is you think of the worst thing a human being can do to another human being, and then you just have Trump do that.
Wow.
And there's your Trump story right there. If anybody is out there that wants to write fake news, that's the formula.
Yeah, how about some more advice for people who want to write fake news?
Oh, I don't know. I don't. Everybody. I've only found a few people that can keep up with the stuff that I like. I'm very particular on it. There's a lot of people that want to write for me, and they send me ideas. And like I said, most of them have no purpose. They're just fake news to be fake news, and there's nothing behind it. I mean, I don't know. It's taken me 6 years to get where I'm at. That's where I started in this. To where my writing is right now. I'm very high standards, and like I take a lot of time, and I make sure my stuff is clever. And like if you read that latter story, I'm real proud of that one. You should read the Gladiator story too. And then also I wrote a story about Trump announces that the wall is going to be made out of solar panels.
Right. That was a great idea.
I saw that.
I liked that.
Yeah. My friend Lalo Cotto, who's an amazing artist.
He really is. Lalo was great.
Lalo Cotto, you'll see a lot of his murals all around downtown Phoenix. He's an amazing person, a longtime friend of mine, super funny guy. He told me, he's like, you should write a story about Trump making the wall out of homes for the U.S. veterans.
it's great. It's great satire. The stuff you do is very, very funny. The thing that's just bizarre about it is that people can't take a joke anymore. Don't understand satire. I mean, there is fake news, which I distinguish what you do from fake news.
Yeah.
There's a lawsuit going on in Germany as we speak about fake news where websites are using a photograph of a young Syrian refugee to talk about terrorism, and they've made him this vile character, and so he's suing Facebook over it. That's a very different thing from talking about selling ladders to scale the wall or gladiator contests or things like that. It's just...
We will point out for the young people listening that Paul Horner also has a bunch of characters that he's developed over the years, none of which we can repeat on the air, by the way, because I think they're all a bit odd and off color. But if you go to his website, or at least you go to his Facebook page, you can find some of these characters that he's developed over the years.
You'll find my name in every story that I've ever written. The thousands of stories that I've written. I found that from the first story I wrote 6 years ago about, I was just mad about like not winning the Powerball. So I just thought of writing a story about a guy named Paul Horner who's like the worst person in the world. Like he is, he's known on Wall Street as, I forget what I called him, but he's gone to prison for 6 years. He basically buys up companies, fires everybody, like cashes in on the stock, like just completely hated. He's like already the richest guy in the state. I mean, just the worst story, like the worst guy ever won the Powerball. She was shared so much, and like everyone's like, F Paul Horner, and like I was loving it. Like, I mean, I don't know. I do write stories that are like fake news, just to be fake news. Like, I mean, those kind of stories. Like one of my other ones, like with that Kim Davis story, when that went super viral, the other story that went super viral at like the exact same time. Because I love just writing just. It's kind of fake. It's not political. It's like a real story, but it's just humorous. I wrote after there was a South Park episode with Yelp.com in it. I don't know if you ever saw that episode, but I wrote that Yelp was suing South Park for $10 million. And there's like the best quotes in that. If you Google that story, like it is the best story. Like it's so funny. It's got quotes in there from Matt and Trey Parker, the creators of South Park. And they're like, yeah, we received the lawsuit from Yelp, and we just have to say that lawsuit in a.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much for being with us, Paul.
Thanks, Paul. We're all done, man.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catches every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.